So I know this is probably hard, but can you explain Gamergate in 2 minutes or less?
I will do my best in 2 minutes or less. So, like, Gamergate is a phenomenon of when you end up with a small group of people that feel marginalized and not accepted by the greater society, you can end up with this feeling of in-group, out-group, and so you become very exclusionary. And so people for Gamergate were like, you know, these are gamers that liked the way life was. They liked their games not being changed. They didn't want to include female characters. They didn't want to have female gamers. They liked the world the way that they had it. And so you can see this in lots of different fields. It's happened through sports. It happens in politics. It happens in business. And then when other parties try to change the way that life has been for them in a way that would be more inclusive, they see it as a personal threat and then react highly strongly.
So this hashtag was, or this movement or whatever you might call it, was, it happened about a year ago is when it started, when mm-hmm. it flared up first. So did one thing happen, or were there a lot of things happen? How did it get started?
So we'll start off with one of the basics, and there was many different things, but I'll just for like time, Anita Sarkeesian was making videos on, you know, women in games and how we were portrayed and how that kind of excluded half of the audience of people that would be gamers. And people started to become aware that games are not always being the best reflection of our culture. And so that was relatively well taken by some people, but people that play a lot of games were angry because she was saying that there's something wrong with something they love and that it should be changed so that it is more reflective of the culture we would like to live at. And so that was kind of the impetus, the start of, you know, listen, how do you treat women in games? And the way that we see things in our media does change the way that we see ourselves. So if your culture is constantly portrayed as a thug or a miscreant or does things wrong, that does change how you see yourself. And so it was really important to people to have games be reflective and to have female characters and to not always be the one that's being rescued so that you can also feel empowered. But changing something that people have liked a certain way and it worked for them can make people feel very threatened.
And so there was a lot of harassment. Many women who stood up for this cause were just doxxed, like had their address put out mm-hmm. online. They were harassed on Twitter, harassed, you know, anywhere they went online, threatened. Was there any actual physical violence? I know that threatening and having your address and your privacy violated is all just as horrible. But was there any like face-to-face violence, or was this all online?
There have been people that have come up to certain people that I even know and that have been very aggressive and very rude, and have what they're trying to do is they're trying to stop people from discussing this in hopes that we're not going to change. And someone stands up and says, this is not okay, and I think that we should do things differently. They are trying to make sure that we don't have these discussions because they don't want anything to change in their world. And so it can get very heated when people have a belief set that they hold very strongly and someone else says that that might not be right and there might be a better way to do it. It's almost as if you are physically being threatened. And so people react very limbically, so very with anger or avoidance. And so it became exceptionally aggressive, really, really quite dark. And it's all because of just a way of, let's do this a little bit differently. But for people that are, you know, consider themselves Gamergaters, it was like a personal threat to their own ecosystem and the way that their culture and their belief system.
So sometimes you hear Gamergate represented as the ethics in online and gaming journalism movement.
Right, right.
Where does that come from?
Well, I think that whenever you are going to be doing something, and I think that in some ways people truly believe that what they're trying to do is make games be more honest. But there's definitely a disjoint. You end up with something called cognitive dissonance, and that's when you have two opposing belief systems in your mind and they don't fit. And so you try to give a valid argument, even though really what it comes down to is that you don't want things to change. So there, you know, we could talk about, I think that everyone thinks that, you know, games and journalism in gaming should be more ethical and we should deal with it. I don't think that there's any real argument there. Everyone's on board with making games better. But if that was the case, then they wouldn't be going after primarily female or pro-inclusive gamers and journalists. They would be going after big companies that sponsor their games or that, you know, pay people in order to be, you know, reviewing things. And that's not what happened. And so you can tell that there's a huge disjoint, because if that's really what they wanted, they would not be targeting the people that they are targeting right now. And so that kind of pulls the blanket off, and we can see, you know, what's really happening behind the machine.